Welcome to Too Much Scrolling. This is the Extra Scrolling, our Twin Peaks episode. Hey, Twin Peaks is back, everybody. It's on Showtime. You've got four episodes available to you right now. We are recording this the Monday, the day after they premiered on Showtime on Sunday night. I've assembled the best people I could possibly think of to talk about Twin Peaks. We could start, let's go in order of some sort here. Jessica Fletcher, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
You enjoying your time in Twin Peaks, David Lynch's head for a while?
Yes, actually. It's been great. It's been kind of crazy.
Dark and moist.
Cool. Same time, dark and moist.
That's exactly. That's right. Mark Brett, the Dork 40 himself. How are you, Mark?
Doing good.
How did you enjoy your special new friends in Twin Peaks?
It's good to be back. It's always nice to visit.
It is a great place to visit. I'm not sure I would want to live there. And exactly. Rob Selsner, how are you? You've frozen already. This is going to be great. We'll get back to Rob in a minute when he gets back from the Black Lodge. So let's start from the very beginning. A very good place to start. Mark, give us the quick and dirty. What is Twin Peaks? Why are we here today?
Well, it's a groundbreaking television show from the early 90s. It's about the murder in a small town. It was a cult phenomenon that died a too early death, and it's now back.
Directed by one David Lynch.
Indeed.
Those of you who know David Lynch, you know that you're in for a treat if you're watching a David Lynch property. Jessica, how did you find Twin Peaks?
Well, that's a good question. I looked for the best shows to binge on Netflix 2 years ago, and I found it. And it was a top 10 list, and I'm like, oh, this is intriguing. So I played it, and the 90s music started coming on, and I'm like, oh, what is this? And then I started, and I saw the body wrapped in plastic. I'm like, oh, I'm hooked. So that's how I found it, and I stayed with it, and it's one of the best shows I've ever seen. So,
how about you, Rob? Are you a fan of Twin Peaks by any chance?
Why, yes. Yeah, I think... I seem to remember originally they aired it as like a 2-hour Sunday movie special.
Uh-huh.
And then I only caught the last 30 minutes of it. And then I think they aired it again the following Sunday, and then they started airing episodes during the week from what I remember. I was hooked like from the first 10 minutes.
So David Lynch and Mark Frost are the two creators of Twin Peaks, and they work together really well and all of the things that they've done. And we've got Angelo Baldamente, who does the music. What's up with Twin Peaks for season 3? Did it have that same feeling to you?
I felt more like a David Lynch film to me than really Twin Peaks, which was cool. But I mean, it felt more like something I should be watching in a movie theater, like Blue Velvet or something. It just had that kind of feeling to it.
And it's kind of an 18-hour David Lynch movie, isn't it?
Which I think his rough cuts are usually 18 hours or more.
Mark, did you think that going back to Twin Peaks, it was about the same as it was? Or how do you feel about this new show?
I enjoyed it a lot. I didn't know what to expect going in because, you know, Lynch's last film was freaking impenetrable. So to me, it actually seemed surprisingly understandable and straightforward. So
Jessica, as the youngest person to view this, are you all right with all the old people in Twin Peaks now?
I like it. I think that it's a hot mix. I think that the scenes with the younger people and the scenes of the older people, they balance out well. It's kind of scary. I got kind of scared. It's a little jumpy, you know.
There are definitely some scary moments in the first 2 hours of this. I'm going to refer to it as the first 2 hours. I'm not going to call it the first episode or episode one and episode two, because they aired both together and they didn't really give us any sort of break. when I was watching it on Showtime. So in those first 2 hours, there's some scary moments. Which was your favorite, Jessica?
My favorite was when they were making love and the glass box filled up with black smoke. And you see the figure, which is smaller, and then it gets bigger, right? Did it?
I think that's how that works. I'm not sure.
I don't know. But that was, it was mysterious. It was, you. But you did, you saw the blood, but you didn't see how they were killed, right? That, it was mysterious, it's ambiguous.
Everybody that I've talked to has said that those two characters, Tracy, and as far as I know, he has no name, the boy that's watching the glass box, those two figures died. I don't have any evidence of that.
Good point. You don't know if they died.
I don't know what was happening in that scene. There was an awful lot of blood, but there was still them screaming while the blood was happening. Sure. So I don't know that the blood was necessarily coming from them.
That's true.
All right.
It could have been cuts.
It could have been anything. It's a David Lynch film. It could be anything.
Could be
raining. Let's see.
And even if they're dead, they're not dead.
That's right.
Like Laura Palmer is still alive.
But she's also dead. She says she's dead, and she says she's alive. She's very confused.
She's so confused.
And then she achieved flight, which I thought was weird.
And there's so many questions. There's so many questions about, you know, in Fire Walk With Me, she got her redemption and became like an angel, but now we see her back in the waiting room for the Black Lodge, right?
Is the waiting room for the Black Lodge, or is it just sort of the waiting room? Is it kind of in between the two?
Is it just purgatory?
That's kind of how I always thought of it.
Okay. It's very Catholic of you.
Well, she did pull open her face, and she had, like, light coming out of her head.
Sure, yeah.
What does that mean?
And she took off her face, yes.
It was like a John Travolta movie.
Well, did... Did Cooper see something in her blank face, or what?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. She like pulled her face off like a Doctor Who villain or something, and then this like bright light came up, and then she just like put her face, like if you remember the old Zartan action figure,
yeah,
where you could have that same face that you'd put on, but it looked totally fake. Like it looked like that.
Yeah, it was very much a 1990s sort of film effect. Let's get to something that wasn't very 1990s, and that's the HD picture. I love the helicopter shots over all of our locations. We've got New York City and Las Vegas, and that helicopter shot over the falls was pretty cool. What do you think of that, Mark?
Beautiful stuff. The shot from the falls, I actually missed when it started. So I had stepped out of the room and stepped back in, and I was like, oh my God, what have I missed? Beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Rob, were you impressed by the HD picture?
Yeah, it's compared, especially going back and watching the old series in its sort of, you know, visual quality of the time, even on like DVD or Blu-ray, it's still very, yeah, it looks a little dated in that regard. This was really beautiful.
It was.
Jessica, would you put up with anything less than HD picture at this point in the 21st century?
These the standards. No. No. I liked that it was at night and it had kind of a dark, mysterious. It was a nice drone, whatever kind of shot it was. It was nice, but it was still dark. I like that.
So we started out with like a previously on Twin Peaks piece of this 2 hour film where we got the Laura saying, "I'll see you again in 25 years." How amazing is it that they put this thing together after 25 years, Mark?
Stunning. I really, after the rejection of season two and the rejection of the film, I really didn't think we'd ever see them work on this thing again.
Rob, does this strike you as a miracle that we are getting more Twin Peaks in our lives?
I don't know. I mean, that seems to be the going trend in TV is to come back and bring these old shows back. Like it was a new X-Files season. What was that? 2 years ago? A year ago?
And rumor of another one.
Yeah, so from that point of view, I think it makes sense. It was only inevitable they would bring it back, but that David Lynch and Mark Frost would come back and do it themselves, and to have this, what is it, like 200 plus people in the cast? That's a pretty impressive task.
It was a very impressive first 2 hours. I'll give you that much. No doubt about that. So we start in black and white. I'm looking at my notes, by the way. I took 8 pages of notes on this 2 hours of television. Don't laugh at me, Jessica. You have a notebook too, sister.
Due diligence. It's good. It's good.
So we start in black and white. We've got the giant who... at the end where they give the names of the people, the actor's name is in the list, but he has no character name, just question marks. What does that mean?
It's how they credited Boris Karloff in the first Frankenstein film.
Really? Because
because
the creature had no name, Frankenstein was the name of the doctor. Huh. I wonder if we're going to get a Frankenstein reference. I wouldn't put that past a David Lynch.
Good catch.
He certainly has to look for it, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The giant says 430 Richard and Linda, two birds with one stone. Is this something that we have to keep track of, Rob, or is this a David Lynch fake out right from the beginning?
Well, I wouldn't count Mark Frost out of this, because it's always struck me that Mark Frost is the one kind of sitting there going, you know, come on, David, let's tell a story, you know, that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it will come into play at some point. But I mean, remembering from the first two seasons back in the 90s, I mean, you know, you and I pored over every line of dialogue from those shows, trying to find some meaning into it. And it did, but only in the vaguest sense. You know, like, remember that he had the dream about a Mike and a Bob.
Mm-hmm.
They never really explained what that meant. But yeah, there was a Mike and a Bob at the end. And what they had to do with anything, I have no idea.
So,
the smiling bag line comes back later. The owl, not what they seem, never gets explained. But, you know, the owls are certainly important. So
they're in there somewhere.
This seems really specific. This seems like way more specific than anything you got in the original series from the giant. So,
I agree.
And why was it in black and white? That's the only thing in this whole episode that is in black and white. They open with this very clear HD picture, and it's black and white. They're sitting in chairs, but they're not the same chairs from the waiting room. And we don't know what we're looking at here.
I assumed it was the Black Lodge.
But the chairs were different, Mark. The chairs. So we move on. Dr. Jacoby is living out in a trailer out in the middle of the woods, and he gets a delivery from, I assume, Amazon.TooMuchScrolling.com, and he gets 4 shovels, and the young man who's delivering the 4 shovels, they're very lovely shovels, and the young man says, "Do you want some help, Dr. Jacoby?" And he says, "No, I prefer to work by myself." What is he going to do with 4 shovels by himself? I keep asking these questions.
It's a slow burn.
we're not going to find any answers.
I mean, like David, you know, David Lynch is never in a hurry to tell a story. I mean, I remember when the second season started, and we'd spent all summer waiting to see what happened to Agent Cooper. He got shot. Who shot him? And we were waiting for resolution to this. And like the first 25 minutes of the season 2 opener is that old waiter walking around going, "I heard about you."
Senor Drool Cup. Yeah. The stuff that's in there may or may not mean anything, and it's kind of a picture of life, isn't it? The stuff that we're looking at, the stuff that we find important, may or may not actually be important when it comes down to the answer at the end. All right, so let's talk about the returning characters. There's a lot of returning characters, a lot of returning actors in this first 2 hours. What strikes you as important so far, Jessica?
My first thought was the log lady when you said that. I don't know why. I just thought that her, yeah.
It was,
I know.
So sad.
It is sad.
Because Catherine Colton passed away almost 2 years ago. She died in 2015, and they filmed those scenes just before she died. And to hear her and to see her on screen was very touching.
I agree. And I thought she was very profound. So that was my first return character. And then the other ones were Shelly, mm-hmm. which we saw at the end of the second one, and James. And we didn't see Bobby yet, right? Who was that guy in the bar looking at Shelly? I couldn't
Rob, do you know who the other guy in the bar at the Roadhouse was at the end?
It looked like Balthazar Getty.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he... You mean the guy who was pointing at Shelly?
Yes, that's Balthazar Getty. That is exactly right.
So I'm not sure what character that is. They imply, I guess, that... I got the impression that James and Shelly had a relationship at some point, the way they looked at each other. But I don't remember anything like that from the original series.
Well, the girl that he's staring at is Shelly's daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is there an implication there that they know each other? That there's a relationship somewhere where this daughter was a result?
Oh.
I don't know what any of this means. We should stop asking questions about David Lynch and Twin Peaks after 2 hours of watching this is what it really comes down to. So
he had a motorcycle accident. That he's quiet.
Yes, Rob, that is my favorite line of the 2 hours, I think, is, oh, he had a motorcycle accident. He's quiet now. Like, as Mark pointed out in the chat room, he was a chatterbox before? James was always a very quiet person to begin with.
He's always quiet and weird, and she's like, he's always cool.
He's supposed to be cool. I think that's a Mark Frost, David Lynch creation, right, where they want the Fonzie. They want the leather motorcycle riding dude, and James Hurley just... doesn't do that for us as an audience. So I think the message there was from David Lynch and Mark Frost saying, audience, he's cool.
He's cool. His persona's cool. But
he's always been cool.
He plays guitar.
He sings. As long as he doesn't sing, it'll be fine. All right. Mark, who's your character so far in the first 2 hours?
Of the returning cast?
Yeah.
Ooh. For me, honestly, Evil Dale Cooper.
Evil Dale Cooper with the hair. He's got a hair clip. Did you see that? He's got a hair clip. He's holding up parts of his hair so it doesn't go into his eyes.
Very important. As a long-haired man, I can tell you that is very important when you're killing people.
So, what's your speculation, Mark? What's going to happen with Evil Dale? Or Doppeldale?
God, I have no idea. I think eventually, eventually he will be forced back in the lodge and good Dale will prevail, I think, in the end. I think that is the kind of narrative we actually have here. So,
I've heard speculation that the return is called the return because, in part, good Dale or happy Dale or good Dale is going to return from the Black Lodge at some point in the narrative. What do you think, Rob? Are we going to see a duel of Dales?
Well, I would hate to speculate. I think that was pretty much implied, I think, from the get-go. I mean, the way that the series ended 25 years ago, it was obvious that the good Dale was trapped. And, well, the Heather Graham even says that in Fire Walk With Me. The good Dale is trapped in the lodge and can't get out. I mean, of the returning cast, though, I got to tell you the one I cannot wait, the one mystery that I need answered, I need to know what happened to Leo Johnson in that cabin holding the box full of spiders.
Right.
There's only a
certain... For some reason, I kept listening for that. Any reference to what happened to him? Well, he was like Frankenstein at that point. Remember, he was wandering around going, Shelly, warn Shelly.
Right.
Oh, that guy took so much abuse. Oh.
New shoes.
New shoes.
This... this is so much fun. We're having so much fun with this show. And there's so many questions. I've got 8 pages of notes, and I keep asking questions, and you all just stare at me.
No, ask questions.
All right. Evil Dale visits Phyllis Hastings, because we meet Bill Hastings, the principal who is accused of murder, a brutal murder. Ruth has her head removed from her body, and somebody else's body is put in the bed near the head. Mark and I were talking about this before. What? Oh, you fuzzed out just as you were explaining why you were laughing at me. Oh, that's karma.
It was David Lynch.
Mark and I were discussing before you guys came on that the idea of the head being separated from the body seems to be a kind of a theme in here. What do you think about that, Mark?
No, I had not considered that until you said it. But yeah, there's the dead woman and the male body that was put with the head. My favorite terrifying scene in the episode, that pan away from Matthew Lillard's jail cell where you see the weird burned bearded man whose body disappears and his head floats away into the air. That's great stuff. And it was your idea about Bob and Mike. So you talk about that.
Yeah, the separation of the two things, the head and the heart, being this idea of you in your mind, your brain tells you, informs your life, and your heart has a different idea of what things should happen. Your emotional side and your logical side. The idea of Bob and Mike always being together in the original series. Now we've got this segregation between the heads, plural, and the bodies, where I think there's some symbolism there that David Lynch and Mark Frost might be telling us something religious here. What do you think, Jess?
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely, it could be religious, or it could be what is it, the id, the ego, and the, you know,
super ego, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and your primitive instincts versus, I guess, to simplify it, just your head and your heart.
Your head and your heart.
The evil could get to your head, but your heart is the good.
And Evil Cooper has that speech where he says, you know, he doesn't need anything. He wants things, but he doesn't need anything.
Mm-hmm.
They also tie that theme.
It's very deep. David Lynch, given the fact that we don't know anything about what he's doing, it seems very philosophical what he's trying to tell us, at least. The David Lynch Foundation sent me a letter Friday, right before the premiere on Showtime, and they are looking to raise money for helping veterans through meditation. So the David Lynch Foundation is all about the head and the heart and the body working together with the mind.
That's cool.
Very deep.
Very deep. I didn't realize that separation that you just said with the head and the heart. It's symbolic. Mm-hmm.
Separating the head from the body.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to the arm then, as we continue our exploration. We have the arm, the one-armed man, Philip Gerard, also Mike in the Nether Realm, has only one arm. And in the original series, the arm then was personified by Michael J. Anderson in the other place. He was the man from another place, the little guy who danced in the red suit. He's not a part of this production, is about the nicest way I can put it. And he's been replaced by a glowing electric tree with a hunk of gum on top.
It could be a brain.
It's a brain. It's probably a brain, not a piece of gum.
It's a brain with a mouth on it.
It's a brain with a mouth on it.
A chewed brain.
And this
tall, very tall brain. Yeah.
And this character is called the evolution of the arm. And we're going to see this character doing all sorts of interesting things. And this character also has a doppelganger. We see a lot of doppelgangers in Twin Peaks nowadays. Jess, are you afraid of the evolution of the arm?
Well, I'm confused. I what's the doppelganger you're talking about with the gum and the tree?
There is an evil tree. Also, there's the evolution of the arm that we're introduced to, and then there's the doppelganger of that tree, a second tree with a second brain that is an angry tree. You don't remember this from the first 2 hours?
I do remember the tree being angry and sending him to the world.
That's a second tree. That is a different character completely.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not.
The tree says that it has a doppelganger. And then the evil version of the tree is the one that is angry with Good Dale.
It's actually the sequel to The Giving Tree.
Wow.
The Killing Tree.
Welcome back, Rob. Okay, so Rob, why is there a tree with a brain on it?
Is that actor who played the dancing man, is he even still alive?
He is. He had a very brutal falling out with David Lynch. And Michael J. Anderson is the actor's name. And he has posted some very scathing accusations against David Lynch. So he is not a part of this production. He's been replaced by electric tree with a brain.
Gum.
With gum in it. I'll show you. You wanna post scathing things on Twitter? I'll show you.
You gum for brain.
I'm David Lynch. I can replace you with a stick and a piece of gum.
He has a doppelganger. He's an evil and a good piece of gum.
There's a good tree and a doppelganger evil tree, and there's a good Dale and a doppelganger evil Dale. I suspect that we're going to see more on this theme of doppelgangers as we go forward as well. Wasn't there a good...
Bill. Bill, the principal.
Oh, Bill Hastings may or may not have a doppelganger sort of situation, like a Bob... taking him over a situation where he's got some missing time. He's accused of murder, but he doesn't remember. He says that this was a dream. This wasn't real. Very similar to what Leland Palmer said about the murder in the first series. Rob, do you think that we have a demon possession in the Bill Hastings case?
That seems to be a very David Lynch theme. Like Lost Highway is one of my favorite films of his, and there's a lot of that throughout that movie. Everything that Bill Pullman did, he thought was a dream. So I think that there's an element of dreams sort of being brought into reality in his films.
And in the case of this film, reality being brought into a dream, because they put it on really late on Sunday night, and I drank a pot of coffee watching the first 2 hours and then tried to go to bed. That didn't work out very well, suffice it to say.
I'm sorry you didn't watch all four.
Yeah, and I didn't watch all four. Rob has watched all four, and he's not allowed to talk about them on this program. We'll have to have you back next week to explain the other two episodes.
Wait, stupid question. Is there only four?
There are 18 episodes, Jessica. There were supposed to be 9 episodes, but David Lynch said, no, 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 I need 18. And Showtime said, no, we don't need 18. And you can just go. And David Lynch said, okay, then I quit. And they said, okay, you can have 18.
Oh, that's good news.
Yes, this is an 18-hour movie that we are speculating over the very, very, very beginning of.
Well, apparently he wrote it that way. He and Mark Frost wrote it as like one long, like however many hundreds of pages that is, with no act breaks or structure or anything to it. And I guess the people at Showtime got a little freaked out by that.
I can't imagine why.
I can understand why. They didn't speculate that this many people would be doing podcasts trying to figure it out.
I love it.
All right, so was the first 2 hours too fan service-y for you? Did you get too many of those moments with all of the original cast, Mark?
I think you needed that. I think, you know, you need to, it's what everyone complained about with Fire Walk With Me, that we didn't see all those people. So I think you need that. And hopefully, you know, the show is heading in that direction. It's going back to Twin Peaks before it's all said and done.
I agree.
Rob, did you think it was outside Twin Peaks too much the first 2 hours? Because we were all over the place. We had New York and Las Vegas and the whole new story in Buckhorn, South Dakota.
No, because actually I've always wondered about, you know, what is the world like in that universe outside of Twin Peaks? What is going on in New York in the Twin Peaks universe? And so I was always curious about that kind of stuff. I feel like it's giving you this sense of a journey that we're traveling back to Twin Peaks, and that's why we only keep seeing these little snippets of it. And it'll probably start to become more and more. By the end of it, they'll probably be in Twin Peaks with the whole thing. That would be my guess.
Do you think that'll be sooner than later?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Twin Peaks. Like,
nobody
does. It seems like all the action is happening outside of Twin Peaks.
Like,
so I don't. It's like Lucy's still figuring out how to use the phone, and like, you
know. Hawk did see the curtains out at the out at Glastonbury Grove, so there is that at least. Yeah. The log's talking.
All of those things are still happening, and you've got Sarah Palmer sitting still in the Palmer house, 25 years after her family was all killed by evil. I'm not sure that I could stay in that house. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, it's. I don't know what's up with her. I've seen some still footage of her like walking through a grocery store, looking just completely vacant. I think she's just withdrawn, and I think she's withdrawn so far into herself it doesn't even matter anymore. I was fascinated by the animal snuff film. She was locked in the second episode.
It was a brutal documentary about animal cruelty to other animals. It was animal on animal violence. I loved the framing of it, though, the way she's watching this television in an older home, a new television, and she's got these mirrors behind her, and the picture from the television is perfectly framed. We can see everything in there. What do you think about that scene, Rob?
I was struck by like how she's still a chain smoker, like because she had that big bowl of cigarette butts in front of her. Like how she's not dead by now, I don't know. And like, she looks like she's become a bit of a boozer too, because there was like a empty bottle of wine on the table.
What was the line from Fire Walk With Me? If I had a nickel for every cigarette your mother smoked, I'd be dead.
Yeah,
that's the line. So, yeah, I don't know how she could stay in
the house.
She looks
like she's had difficulty moving on.
Okay, you're right. She's had difficulty moving on. These brutal things happened in that house, and she's stuck there, it looks like, all by herself.
God, it would be the saddest scene in the episode if it were not for the two log lady scenes. It would be the saddest thing in there, I think.
I will agree with you on that.
I thought she was the lady from Requiem for a Dream for a second. It was a different actress.
Speaking of Fire Walk With Me, have you guys seen Fire Walk With Me? Have you rewatched it? Did you rewatch the full series before season 3 started, Mark?
I did not. I hit some highlights. I caught the all-important Miss Twin Peaks pageant.
Oh, boy. There's a highlight.
There's a highlight, yeah.
We're going to honor Laura Palmer by being wrapped in plastic and dancing. All right, so Jessica, you've seen seasons 1 and 2, and you haven't seen Fire Walk With Me, is that right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I would recommend, now that you have Showtime, in order to watch Twin Peaks, that you go back and catch Fire Walk With Me. It's on there. It is one of the things that they have offered. You might get an interesting view into what you should be expecting for season 3 based on that movie, because season 3 is a lot like Fire Walk With Me. Do you agree with me, Rob?
Yeah, in fact, this feels like a sequel to Fire Walk With Me rather than a sequel to the TV series.
Yeah.
It's got that cinematic flair to it that is different from the TV series. I enjoy both, but I really liked Fire Walk With Me for its its way of telling that story and giving us all those fan service-y things that we needed and giving us the mystery on top of the mystery in the way that it did. And I hope that we'll see that for season three here as well.
I hope so. That's why I wanted to watch this, because I felt like season two ended so abruptly with Dale putting his face in the mirror, and I definitely am going to watch Firewalk With Me now, because that was why I started watching it again, was because I felt like it kind of ended abruptly.
Firewalk With Me does give an ending to that situation. It does give us hope that good Dale is in the Black Lodge, he's trapped there, and that there is this doppelganger, this evil Dale. So it does continue that story. That's an important piece of information for season three.
Mm-hmm. Good to know.
All right. So, Ace of Spades. Evil Dale is talking to Daria for a very short amount of time, and he pulls out the Ace of Spades that has this symbol on it. It's a black round symbol with something like wings, kind of like, Jessica, kind of like your shirt that you're wearing, which is the Owl Cave symbol, but mm-hmm. the new symbol is much more round instead of diamond shaped.
More like an animal or something. You're a head.
Well, yours is owl. That's the symbol for the Owl Cave. Mm-hmm. I think the new symbol looks a lot more like Spider-Man.
Yeah, it does. Little floppy ears.
I was thinking like an ant head almost, something with an antenna.
An insect.
Yeah. Hmm. So we've got some interesting future in all of this. Mm-hmm. Evil Dale has all of his different team of people. We meet Daria and Ray. Daria meets a smoking end. The special effects on the brutality of Evil Dale shooting Daria was pretty disturbing. Mm-hmm. Did you notice?
I don't know why. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was something. And then he goes to the next hotel room and meets Chantal, who's been waiting in the next hotel room for him. And he talks about Hutch and Chantal. He's got a whole team of evil people doing whatever evil people do.
He said
25 years to put together a network out there, so you know, God knows how many people he has working for him.
But what else has Evil Dale been up to for 25 years? Is he also an anonymous billionaire?
Ah, I wondered about that myself.
Because
he could be, right? Because he has the FBI intellect.
And he's got some sort of FBI access on his Surface Pro that he keeps in his weird briefcase with his weird phone that apparently calls somebody in the Black Lodge, because he tries to contact Philip Jeffries. Now, yeah. Jessica, you might not know who Philip Jeffries is, but that was actually a character played by David Bowie in the Fire Walk With Me movie.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Except David Bowie is also dead.
Yes. And yet he lives.
And yet he lives. Sometimes his arms bend back.
He's in the Black Lodge. He's not dead.
David Lynch is just not willing to part with anybody. Everybody is dead and alive. It's Schrodinger's David Lynch. The first 2 hours ends in the Roadhouse. Again, fan service is all over the place. We get the famous Bang Bang bar sign and the Roadhouse, and we've got Shelley and her daughter sitting there, and James walks in and gives us that James look and some of our favorite lines of the show. Rob, what was your favorite line from that scene?
Oh, he was in a motorcycle accident. He's quiet now.
I love that.
Like Gary Busey, like I can. He's been in like what, 8 motorcycle accidents, and he's barely intelligible now.
Right. He's Evil Knievel. He's quiet now.
He was such a chatterbox in high school. He was so loud, so noisy.
He's always been cool.
He's always been cool. Audience, stop thinking that he's not. All right, so tell me. now that we've gotten through 2 hours of this 18-hour movie, what are your plans for the rest of this 18 hours? Jessica, are you going to sign off from this show now and go watch the other 2 hours that are on Showtime right now?
I think I'm going to... I don't know. Should I watch the other 2 hours of the show, or should I watch Fire Walk With Me first?
Ooh, that is a great question.
Watch the next two episodes.
Okay, Rob has cheated on us and gone ahead and watched episodes 3 and 4, and he's not going to ruin anything for us, but Rob, they were good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You definitely get, like we were saying about the script that he wrote, you definitely get a feeling that they spent a lot of time figuring out, well, where does each episode end and the next one begin? Because it all just feels like a nonstop flow of Lynchian madness.
How about you, Mark? Are you gonna sign off and go watch 2 more hours of Twin Peaks right now?
Not right now. I was up until, like, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning on a donut sugar rush, and I'm gonna go to bed. But tomorrow I am gonna sit down and watch 3 and 4 finally. Yes.
Okay. So going forward, now that we are eventually gonna see 4 hours of this 18-hour movie, what are you going to do? Are you going to wait for every Sunday, except for Memorial Day weekend? Are you going to wait for every Sunday and catch this immediately, or are you going to try to binge them, wait, and hold them for later?
I'm going to, every time it comes on, I'll watch it. And maybe even again, because I don't know if I'm the only one who feels this way, but I feel like I have to watch it several times to really understand what's going on. There's so many things that happen. I'm going to have to watch the first and second seasons that ever came out. It's detailed, you know?
Yeah, but I'm not sure that watching the first 2 hours would help you with that until you've got the whole picture of the whole 18.
True.
Watching it again, I think, is definitely on my list of things to do. Mark, what's your plan for 18 hours of David Lynch love?
I'm going to watch it weekly. That's how he wants it to be seen, so that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I agree. I think he insisted, I think, with Showtime that they not release it all at once, and he said it should be watched once a week like a soap opera. So that's probably how I'll watch it.
Thank you all for joining us. We had too much fun with this, I think. I think this is not going to be the best show that we've put out, because we enjoy this way too much. Mark, if our listeners want to hear more from you, especially your writing, how can we find more from Mark Brett?
Dork40.com. That's where I review mostly comic books, but movies and whatever else comes in front of my eyes.
Excellent. And you're on Too Much Scrolling quite often. Whenever we need to talk about comic books, you are our comic book expert, so thank you for that. Rob, where can our listeners find more from you?
I'm on Facebook. You can call me and talk to my kids.
That's fantastic. Thank you for joining us as our Twin Peaks expert. Rob is the Twin Peaks expert. He's the one who knows all this stuff and can tell us all.
I still have that shirt.
I'm sure you still have that shirt and probably that jacket. I do wear my trench coat often, as my students and my children will tell you. I'm often in a trench coat, but that's a classic look right there.
Classic.
Yeah. Jessica, where can our listeners find more from you? Are you on the social media somewhere?
Yeah, I'm on all social media. You could go to jessfletcher.com, and then all the social media is on there. So, thank you.
Very
this
good.
This has been awesome. Thank you for organizing this.
Do we have to do this every week? Do we have to come back every week?
I would like to have a little, yeah.
We should do a watch along. Maybe we should watch and chat while we're watching.
I think that'd be cool.
I think that would be annoying because we would just be giggling the whole time.
I think we should do it.
All right. Thank you all again. And all of you listening, thank you for putting up with our fanboy experience with Twin Peaks. If you want to listen to the fanboy story, Rob has a great fanboy story about meeting Cheryl Lee, and I'll put that in the show notes so that you can listen to that story again. It is the famous story in which Rob was the only guest of Too Much Scrolling who ever got bleeped for saying something naughty, Rob. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor. We're Too Much Scrolling. Go to TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Instagram and Facebook and iTunes and Twitter and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and every day of the week. You can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. Get all the news you need to survive another week. Thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. What, Rob?
Are you on Friendster?
Yes. I'm sure we're on Friendster and MySpace, and we know Tom. Okay. Want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling.
Tom is from MySpace.
We'll see you in the future. Oh, this is a fever dream that I'm having. Do, 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 do.